around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you today. We welcome you today in Christ's name. I do want to say thank you for the many of you who have fasted and prayed with us. As you know, we set a time aside beginning January the 14th. And we ask those of you that would to fast with us, which we were asking for a 21-day period. Now, I know that everyone cannot fast 21 days. But I trust and I pray that in some capacity you did fast with us 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, whatever the case might be. But in fasting, God will honor that which you do regarding the things of the kingdom of God. God is faithful, and he honors that which we do concerning his kingdom. I believe with the prayer and the fasting of the people of God, it is making great opposition in the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 17:21, "This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Simply put, some things will never ever happen until we fast and pray. So we began our fast on January the 14th. Today's February the 5th. We asked those of you that would to fast with us in some degree. It doesn't matter if it was a water fast or a juice fast or a Daniel's fast, 1 day fast, 3 day fast, 7, 14, 21. We just simply asked that everyone would fast as they felt led by the Holy Spirit. I am confident, I am certain that God honors the fasting of the saints of God. And when the people of God do their part, God always makes up the difference. Sometimes it's difficult on all of us, but the secret is God honors our efforts. Hebrews 6, verse 10, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered, and ye do minister unto the saints." When the children of God fast, and they call upon God, it touches the heart of God. It moves the heart of God. And he moves because this is a labor of love. Love because we love him. We hunger for him. We thirst for him, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and ye do minister. Thank you. Thank you from my heart. My wife thanks you. We thank you for the sacrifice. It is a great sacrifice to fast. I know people pray. People read their Bibles. Few people hardly ever fast. If you want the anointing of God to increase in your life, and we went through all of this weeks ago when we were preparing for the fast, teaching on the subject of fasting. But if you want a greater and richer and fuller anointing on your life, you have to pay a greater price. And that's why most preaching today is anemic. There's no anointing. You can have all the intellectualism that you desire. You can have all the intellectualism that you desire. But unless you have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, your labor is in vain. Oh, you may build a mega church, a mega ministry. I'm afraid of most mega churches and mega ministries because of the word many in itself. I would dare say 8 out of 10 times that you read the word many in your Bible, it is not good. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:5. And many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the gospel of God. I could go on and on and on and on, but I'll not do that. Again, thank you for fasting and praying. I know that God will honor that which you do concerning the kingdom of God. I want to play a beautiful, beautiful song. My family and I, we did this in Branson. Beautiful song. But it's going to lead us into the message today about the need for reformation. There needs to be a change. And the only way the change can come is through the Holy Ghost. That, my friend, is the key to the move of God, the Holy Ghost. I want to go today to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. I want to use for a subject today the need for reformation. The need for reformation. As early as we see in the writings of the Word of God, there was a reformation concerning the creation of God. Satan had rebelled against God. And his desire, Satan's desire, was to ascend into the heavenlies and dethrone the Lord of glory. Because of his sin and rebellion, God flooded the earth and totally destroyed it. My point in sharing the original fall and its embodiment of sin is because it took the moving of the Holy Ghost to change the things the way they were. Without the moving of the Holy Ghost, there will never be anything accomplished spiritually. We read in our scripture text that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. That is very significant, because unless the Spirit of God moves, things will remain without form. Everything will remain void, and darkness will prevail over our lives. However, when the Holy Ghost moves, when the Holy Spirit moves, something will change and something will happen, and it will be dynamic. Our scripture text in verse 1 says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. What a great prophetic word. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." There is something very powerfully taking place in the landscape of America. It was, I believe, 2 or 3 years ago, this past January, after my wife and I had concluded a 21-day fast, that God spoke to my heart, and he said, "Everyone will either become a goat or a sheep." And as I pondered that thought in my heart, in my spirit, there's a lot of chicanery, there's a lot of misrepresentation, there's a lot of lying taking place in our world today. It seems as though everyone has a lie, a misrepresentation of the truth. There are those of you out there today, you possess untold integrity. Spiritual integrity is paramount in your life. You don't play with the truth. You don't gamble with the truth. You advocate, appropriate, and you live the truth, the Word of God. However, there are those out there today who will blatantly and flagrantly lie, and then all you have to do is compare the two videotapes, and you see where one day they say this thing, and another day they say another thing, and yet they say they have been consistent all the while. Nothing could be further from the truth. You see, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. Azariah gave a prophetic word. He said, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him." Are you with the Lord today? Are you pursuing the Lord with all of your heart? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the master of your soul? Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Nobody can serve two masters. There is no doubt in my mind that God has raised Donald J. Trump up for a parenthetical time in this nation. How many blessings, how much restoration will be accomplished, I do not know. But I do know this. If we seek God, he will be found of us. But if we forsake God, he will forsake us. And this nation was on the precipice of totally abandoning God. There needs to be a reformation. Martin Luther was described as the great reformer who opposed Catholicism and found out that a man, according to the Word of God, is justified by faith in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That was the whole premise of his 95 Theses. He was declaring, "I am saved by the efficacious work that Jesus Christ wrought on the cross of Calvary. I am saved by no other way. I'm forgiven by no other way." It's called justification. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ took away the hostilities. He took away the enmity. He took away that separated us from Jesus, from God the Father, through his own sacrifice. Jesus paid the price. Therefore, we are justified by faith. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only when we pursue God is God declared to be with us. Remember what he said in the New Testament, Revelation 2:4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. We don't love God like we used to love God. I don't care what anybody says. Most churches have lost the Holy Ghost. They've lost the power, they've lost the presence, they've lost the anointing of God in the houses of God, and they're trying to have church without the Holy Ghost, and you can't have church without the Holy Ghost. You can't have church without Jesus Christ. You've got to have both of them in your life, amen. The Bible says in John chapter 2, verse 3, well, let's just look at the whole scripture text so you understand what I'm about to say here. John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. The Holy Ghost has always been symbolic of wine. It's symbolic of the Word, symbolic of oil, or I should say those are all symbols of the Holy Ghost. Wine is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. There are many symbols of the Holy Ghost, but wine represents a type of joy, not in drunkenness. As Peter said, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. They were filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's what made them appear to be drunk. Peter was telling the truth. Peter said, these men are not drunk as ye suppose. It's but 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I'm here to say today, we need a reformation in all of our churches. We need a move of the Holy Spirit of God, a dynamic, powerfully anointed move of God to move out the trash, to move out the garbage, to move out the leaven, and make the body of Christ holy and pure like it ought to be in this end time hour. There are those of you listening to me today, you are so hungry for a move of God. Somehow in my heart, somehow in my spirit, I believe there is a move of God coming. Some of you will be a part of it. Some of you will miss it. Why will you miss it? Because you're not seeking Him and you have forsaken Him. Those who pursue Him, those who seek Him, He said, He will be found of you. You will find Him. You will have an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God like we've never had before. I don't fast and pray and expect nothing in return. I said, I do not fast and pray and expect nothing in return. I look for God to reward me and to honor that which I have done concerning His name. Everything we do in Jesus' name. We do it because we love Him. We magnify Him. We glorify Him. We extol Him. We laud Him. We praise Him. And we worship Him. And we do it in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You see, church is about entertainment. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is about worship. Oh, you have to have the right ambience, the lights, the atmosphere. No. When the Holy Ghost shows up, I said when the Holy Ghost shows up, you're going to have church because He is the one who does the anointing, because He is the anointing. The Holy Ghost is the anointing of God. As I said, we need a reformation, and I related it to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. What made that happen? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Just like that unfathomable fall, obliteration because of Satan, the earth became without form. And when you read the Hebrew, it means to lie in waste and to be utterly worthless. I hate to say this today, but our churches are nothing but waste pits, waste mortuaries, waste pollers. Why? Because the Spirit of God is not there. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. People come to church and they leave, and they come in bondage and they leave in bondage. They've never been touched. They've never been delivered. They've never been set free. That's why church is meaningless and unpurposeful unless there's a move of God and the Holy Ghost has the preeminence. Oh, I'm preaching today. Oh, I know this is not popular. These little limp-wristed, panty-waist preachers, they're so soft, they're soft soap peddlers. They wouldn't say anything to upset anybody. You know why? Because they want to be friendly, acceptable. They want to be politically correct. They want you to like them. They want you to come back and put your money in the offering plate. Friendly seeker churches. I'm a friendly guy. Oh, yeah. I'm a very friendly guy. That has nothing to do with the moving of the Holy Ghost. We've changed the power of the Holy Ghost into the power of men's personalities. That's not what's going to get the job done. Not men's personalities, but the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? That's why the church is without form and void. The nominal church today is so disorganized, it begs description. And you always hear this montage. Hey, montage, let's just all come together and let's just forget all of these little things that separate us. That's not what we do. What we are purporting in the world today is an act of uniformity. But you certainly don't have unity with the Holy Ghost. No, sir. The Holy Ghost tells you you're wrong. You got sin in your life. You got sin in your heart. You told a lie. You got drunk. You smoked a joint. You cursed. See, the Holy Ghost reproves us and says, you can't be right with God and live that way. I'm not teaching, neither do I preach or believe in sinless perfection, but I believe you can live days and weeks and months without having to sin. We've got a license to sin in the church today. When you hear a preacher, and there are those, that's all they preach is grace, 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 grace. Sir, there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Why don't you ever mention hell if people don't embrace grace? When you buy a battery, there's not two positive terminals on it. There's one. The other terminal is called negative. Why? Because if you don't have them both, it won't start the car. You go in there and buy a battery with two plus emblems on the battery post. You're going to tell the man at the parts store, this won't start my car. See, that's the problem. We've taken grace as a license to sin and live any way we want to live. And that's not right. That's just not right. Right. We don't have a license to sin because of grace. No, we don't. There are those who've taken that mindset. They think they can live any way, they can do anything, and there's no ramifications. Friend, there's coming a day of judgment. I said there's coming a day of judgment in the church. And so many people today do not believe there is a ramification for sin. Preachers don't mention sin. They don't talk about sin. Romans 6 and 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Are we going to continue to live in sin that grace might abound the much more? Paul said, no, sir. This is why Paul addressed this in Romans 3 and 8. Let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. So living evil makes good come? Paul said, you're out of your mind. We're not going to live that way. He says in Romans 6 and 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. There it is. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Are you going to sin until you die? Or are you going to live a life of righteousness so that when you die, Christ says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When we have a reformation, the root word there is to reform. It means to form again, to correct, to amend, to ameliorate, and to restore. This is what reformation is all about. This is the whole purpose. This is the entire purpose of the new covenant. And yet we have those who say, no, let's go back under the law. Let's keep the Sabbath. Let's don't eat meats. Let's don't do this. Let's do that. I'm preaching on the Holy Ghost, the need for reformation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8 through 10. The Holy Ghost, this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Uh-oh, rut-row, there went all you people out there who are embracing the law. The Holy Ghost said that the way of the Holy of Holies was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. The Mosaic tabernacle, the Holy Ghost said, you can't get to God, the Holy of Holies, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him, the high priest, that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. Now, folks, there's no greater voice in the New Testament church than the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul says the Holy Ghost signifying or saying that the way into the Holy of Holies, the King James here says holiest of all, meaning Holy of Holies, was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Nobody but the high priest, and only once a year, could go behind the veil. You and I can go every day. Great God in heaven, you ought to shout. You have the right, you have the privilege as a blood-bought, born-again child of God to go behind the veil every day. Why? The veil was rent in Herod's temple the day Jesus was crucified. Oh, yeah. Thus, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You and I don't have to have a priest. You and I don't have to have a preacher. We don't need a pope. We don't need a prophet. We don't need anybody to go into the Holy of Holies, because Jesus paid the way, the Holy Ghost said. And the Holy Ghost said what you witnessed. And the Mosaic Tabernacle was just a figure. It was a symbol. It was a prototype, you might say, for the time then present. They were able to offer gifts and sacrifices. But it would not last. Why? Until the time of the Reformation. In other words, that was just a periodic time, a parenthetical time that God used the law. As I've said scores and scores of time, read the Ten Commandments. Do you find redemption? I've said this many times. The easiest thing for anyone to do is to find fault. I could walk into your office. I could walk into your home. And I could look around. And in 10 minutes, I could find more fault than you could imagine. I could say, "Ma'am, when's the last time you dusted your furniture? Sir, when's the last time you washed your car and cleaned up your garage? Ma'am, why don't you get those dirty clothes out of the laundry and wash them and dry them and iron them and put them up?" Oh, ironing, I know that's a thing of the past, but I ironed me some pants the other day and some shirts. I still know how to use the iron. I can sew buttons. I can hem pants. I was taught growing up, you learn to do a lot of things. I could find fault so easily. You know, after having pastored 27 years, I told my church and pastor's council, "Don't come in here with a plate load of problems, but if you do, I expect there to be another plate right beside of that one with solutions." I want to have a relationship with problem solvers, not problem finders. Problem solvers. I love the creativeness in problem solving. Went to get on my tractor the other day. Gonna raise the hood. It wouldn't raise. Because Linton had used it, moving some dirt, and the big brush guard, he had pushed it back so far, and you couldn't tell it till you got ready to raise the hood, and it was snared. The hood wouldn't come up. So my other son came up the other day, and we were all out there, and I showed him. And they said, what do we need to do? And I said, "Well, my idea is to take a chain, wrap it around in both corners, bring it to the front of the tractor, fasten it to the 4-in-1 bucket, and turn the bucket down till it pulls it out." And both my sons looked at me and said, "Now, that's smart. We're not even going to pull the thing off the tractor." Now, we had to do it 3 or 4 times, because when you took the pressure off, the brush guard would want to bow back toward the radiator, toward the grill. So we had to keep pulling and pulling till we got it. And then when you release the tension, it wouldn't go so far back that the hood would still not come up. Fixed it in about 10 minutes. I love creative problem solving. You see, the church don't have to become way and far-reaching in their creativeness. God has already given us what we need. Did you know the Holy Ghost can take care of any problem? I'm going to say that again, because some of you need to hear that. I said the Holy Ghost can take care of any problem. Do you believe that? You need to confess that. You need to acknowledge that. That the Holy Ghost can take care of any problem, because He too is God. Do you hear me? He too is God. He can take care of any problem. And right now, I want you to think about that problem. Matter of fact, that problem is on your mind right now since I said that. That problem with that son. I mean, he's just hurt you. He's harmed you emotionally, not physically. He's hurt you, and you're mentally challenged, spiritually challenged because of the continued lifestyle of that son, that daughter. Regretfully, some of you as spouses, you've challenged your other spouse. But I want you to know the Holy Ghost can take care of any problem. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It's the Holy Ghost that can touch and fix the brokenhearted. Amen. What was the first thing Jesus said in Luke 4:18? Do you remember the first thing that Jesus said in Luke 4:18? I'll tell you what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me." The anointing is the Holy Ghost. Some of you are thinking about turning the message off today. I don't want to hear about that. Tell me something about prophecy. Tell me something about Donald Trump. Tell me something about the FBI. Tell me something about Mueller. Tell me something else. I'm telling you what you need to hear. I'm telling you what the answer is. "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he said, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Do you want God in your life? Or do you want God in your life as you will? Oh, I just want him for blessings. I just want him to help me with this matter. But when it comes to helping me with sin in my life, to keep a measure of conviction in my life, to keep me from going down the wrong path in my life, I don't want him for that. You want to have a Burger King religion. You want to have it your way. Yeah. When you need God, you call on God. When you don't need God, you forsake God. That's exactly what the prophet of God said here by the Spirit of the Lord. He said, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." I'm telling you, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I love that word, simplicity. Simply. Simple. It's not hard. As I've said many times, when you love someone, it's not hard to care for them. As a man, having been married over 36 years with 4 children, not hard to love my children and my wife. Why? Love. Love. Not hard to provide, not hard to give, not hard to sustain, not hard to help. Why? Love. Powerful. Two of the greatest powers in the earth is love, and the other is hate, and the third is fear. Love, hate, and fear will wreck people's minds, the other two. Hate and fear will drive people insane, will drive people to do things that are absolutely abnormal. But love will drive people to always do the right thing. Love. Love. Hatredness, hatefulness will hurt, harm, injure. Fear paralyzes. Fear sequesters. It'll cause people to shut themselves up and not and say, I'm not even going outside. There's people who won't even drive a car. There are people who won't go into public places. It's a phobia. The Greek word is phobos. The English word is phobia. And then we put all these words in front of phobia to describe the type of fear. Claustrophobia. I don't agree with homophobic. I'm not afraid of homosexualities. I'm not xenophobic. What is a xenophobic? It's afraid of other people from other countries, and you hear that term in the liberal media. He's a xenophobic. You see, they're always creating words, foreign words, to malign, to castigate, to impinge, to find fault in people. See? Let me tell you something, and my time is nearly gone today. The news media has become one of the most vile, corrupted, immoral, degraded, and debased institutions that has ever been. The reason I say that is because of that little phone in your pocket. Media. Media. Yes, we've all said it. The devil takes it for evil and we use it for good. My concern is that it's being used more for evil than for good. And don't ever forget what www. Means. World Wide Web. World Wide Web. It snares people. It holds people hostage. The need for reformation, the need to be in God's presence. Did you know when you are in God's presence, His presence changes your attitude, it changes your mindset, it changes your thought pattern? Amen? The presence of God. David said it like this in Psalm 16, verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Luke 5, 17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. See, God's presence changes everything. But that's why preachers don't want the Holy Ghost manifest in their churches, because they are afraid he'll take over and mess up the playhouse. Yeah. If you're a preacher and you just happen to be listening to me today, and you've gone 20 Sunday morning or 20 Sabbaths in a row, and the Holy Ghost has not had the preeminence, and what I term is the Holy Ghost hasn't taken over your church service, where people came running to the altar weeping and sobbing and crying and praying, you need a spiritual checkup, sir. I said, you need a checkup. What you have to say is not nearly as significant, neither as important, as what the Holy Ghost wants to do in your church. You say, well, you shouldn't talk like that. I pastored for 27 years. I've preached in hundreds of churches before 1994. But the pack turned on me and not afforded that opportunity anymore. And that's perfectly all right. You know, Jesus now stands on the outside of the church knocking on the door saying, let me in. So I shouldn't feel any more abused than my Lord and Savior. They won't let him in. See, because when the Holy Ghost comes in, he's going to reform some things in all of us. I said, he's going to reform some things in every one of us. He's the great reformer until the time of the Reformation, which means to reform again, to correct the errors, to amend, to ameliorate, to restore something. The church needs to go back to the foot of the cross and say, let's start over, God, and make us anew. You're the potter, we're the clay, put us on the spindle and mold us and fashion us into your likeness, Lord, because we certainly need it. We need for God to intricately get involved in our lives, in our churches, in our ministries, in our homes, in our families, in our marriages, in our businesses. He needs to be in everything. Why do you think that the world right now is so livid, that this nation is so divided? You have the personification of light and dark bumping heads head on. I mean, one right after the other. I've never seen such a time of agitation. You know, the old washing machine had the agitator in it. It shook, it moved, it twisted, it turned, it washed the clothes better. These new washing machines don't wash any good anymore. But you see, the Spirit of the Lord, when he comes in, he can have dominion over that evil. And right now, there's a warfare taking place in this nation. I believe the very soul of America is at stake. And I believe in the coming days, we're either going to succeed and make it, or we're going to have a further breakdown in this nation. Don't you realize Jesus warned us of the last days, iniquity shall abound, lawlessness. Remember that word, lawlessness. It's here, it's now, it's happening. And the Bible says in Isaiah 5:20 that the day would come they would call evil good. Evil good. I have nothing against immigrants, but let's do it the right way. We have laws. We have guidelines, and they'll always bring up one who became a physician, a doctor, or got a PhD or whatever. But I watched that man in California the day who shot several sheriffs and used the most vile language sitting in the courtroom, and he said he only regretted he wasn't able to kill more. He said, when I get out, I'm going to kill more. The man is demon-possessed. Where in lies evil, you will find demonic activity, and the greater the evil, the greater the demonic activity. And the only thing to bring it back and to pull it back and to push it back is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Only can the Holy Ghost bring down, tear down, destroy this wickedness. My God, that's what made the early church so powerful. They got the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't you leave, he said, until you get the Holy Ghost. Don't you leave until you get this power. Don't you leave until you get this anointing. And how many preachers are preaching on the baptism? The Holy Ghost baptism, not water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism. Thief on the cross never had a chance to be water baptized, but he made it. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We need reformation. We need restoration. David said in Psalms 23:4, he restoreth my soul. Listen. We can lose the things of God. Jesus said, I've lost none, but the son of perdition. You mean God can lose? Because God does not demand that people serve him. None of them is lost. This is in John 17:12. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Why is he lost? Satan entered into him, John 13:27. Then Satan entered into him. Judas, people say, he was never saved. That's a lie straight out of hell. How do you ordain an apostle, make him an apostle, make him a part of the ministry of Christ, and he cast out devils? and say he was never saved. And furthermore, that's the kind of judgment we're not to execute. You don't judge a man's salvation. You just judge whether what he's doing is right or wrong. But you don't judge his salvation. We judge whether it's good or evil. You take it on yourself to say, no, the man never was saved. Who are you to make that assessment? Spirit of God left Saul. God sent Samuel to anoint him. But oh, like most men, he became indifferent. He backslid because he did it his way. His way was a way of death. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He wouldn't wait on Samuel to get back and went ahead and made his offering. Didn't wait on the man of God. We must wait on God. Let me encourage you. I'll pick this back up tomorrow. Let me encourage you. Seek God's face. Again, thank you for those of you who fasted and prayed with us over the last several weeks. God bless you.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020.